Let us pray. God our Father, as we explore your word this morning, reveal your truth to us through the power of your Holy Spirit. May we grow in our faith in you and live as your heavenly people as we meet together and in our witness in our daily lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. The central theme of our readings today is that of standing firm in the Lord. In our first reading, we hear of Jesus' lament over Jerusalem as he pushed towards Jerusalem and the destination of the cross. A lament is an expression of grief or sorrow. And in our second reading, Paul calls upon the church of Philippi to stand firm in the Lord and to live appropriately as citizens of his kingdom. But what does it mean to stand firm? It means to hold your ground, to stick to what you believe, to not be persuaded away from your course of action. In our gospel reading, Jesus looks towards Jerusalem. We read of Jesus' lament. Our reading begins with the Pharisees warning Jesus. Verse 31, at that time some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." It's an interesting start. After all, the Pharisees were not exactly supporters of Jesus. In fact, they strongly opposed him. The Pharisees would have been very aware of the prophecies regarding the promised Messiah in the Old Testament. Were they trying to persuade Jesus not to go to Jerusalem? In the next verse, we read of Jesus' contempt for Herod, who had executed John the Baptist and who is now trying to thwart Jesus' mission. Jesus replied, "Go tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal." Jesus' mind was set on completing the mission for which his Father had sent him. The divinely appointed path for Jesus led to Jerusalem. At God's appointed time, Jesus would suffer. Nothing was going to prevent Jesus from fulfilling his mission, his purpose. Here we see a picture of Jesus' courage and resolve. He knew that he would have to suffer. He knew what lay ahead. But his course was set, and he was not going to deviate from that course. Jerusalem, such an important city, the city of God. Jerusalem was the city chosen by God to bear his name and his presence. In 1 Kings 11, verse 36, God states, "I will give one tribe to his son, so that David my servant may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city where I choose to put my name." Jerusalem's important in the Bible is richly layered. It covers historical events, spiritual worship, and prophetic missions. Just want you to reflect for a moment about the feeling of rejection. How does it feel to be rejected? We'll all probably have some experience of rejection, whether it's not getting a job or someone we love rejecting us. How does it feel when someone you love dearly rejects you? How must Jesus have felt as he looked towards Jerusalem? Jerusalem had a long history of rejecting and killing the prophets. Herod had recently executed John the Baptist. John could be considered very much the last of the Old Testament prophets. In his own words, he prepared the way for God's Messiah. The imagery presented in the New Testament for John the Baptist paints a picture of another Elijah. In fact, in Luke 1, the angel Gabriel, when announcing John's birth to his father Zechariah, declared that John would go forward in the spirit and power of Elijah. Jerusalem, the city God gave his name to, where God's presence had been, continued to sin, continued to rebel against God. They ignored his messages from the prophets. And now they were rejecting the greatest prophet of them all, his son, Jesus. Jesus had the greatest love for Jerusalem. They may have rejected him, but he loved them. And the image used is that of a mother hen for her chicks. But what he received back was rejection. Jesus' love for Jerusalem. Jesus said, "How often I long to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." Jesus loves the people of Jerusalem. The imagery of a hen gathering up the chicks under her wings is used in the Old Testament. The imagery first emerges in the Psalms, where the psalmist often portrays God as a protective figure. Psalm 91 verse 4 states, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." Here, the wings symbolize God's protection and faithfulness, like a hen sheltering her vulnerable chicks. We can also see this loving, caring parent imagery through the parable of the prodigal son. The rebellious son who squandered all his father had given him, but who came back seeking forgiveness and being welcomed back with open arms and love. These images demonstrate just how much God wants to gather his people together, despite their rejection, despite their resistance. God loves and cares. Jesus longs to gather up his people, to care for them, to protect them. Jesus' love and compassion for Jerusalem and for each one of us led all the way to the cross. Yet still, Jerusalem remained adamant. Jesus warns them that they have had every opportunity. They have not been willing. And he says, "Look, your house is now left desolate." Jerusalem, as in many times before, had rejected the messenger of God and therefore would find itself desolate, locked out of the kingdom. More importantly, it would find that its temple was empty of God's presence. God's love for each one of us is so powerful. He wants us to know him. He wants to welcome us with his love. And we have a choice. We can accept him or we can reject him. Our second reading this morning, Paul encourages the Philippians to imitate him and other godly examples. Why were Christian role models so important to the early Christian communities? There was one fundamental reason. The fact was, there wasn't a New Testament at the time. There was the Old Testament, but the New Testament hadn't been written and wouldn't become available till the second or third centuries. Paul wrote his letter to the Philippians around AD 60, and he encouraged them to be role models, to look to Paul's example. Today, we have our Bibles. We have the Word of God that we can refer to. But the importance of role models still exists. Role models were essential for the Christians of the early church to grow in their faith, to follow God's path, to become citizens of the kingdom. Role models are absolutely essential today in the church, especially amongst the generation who wonder whether the Bible is relevant. As Christians, we know that it is relevant. Putting it simply, it's the Word of God. Hebrews 4, verse 12 states, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." In a world that is constantly changing, God is the one thing that is a constant. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's living word, the Bible, therefore, is just as relevant today as it was yesterday and will be into eternity. As a role model, Paul had to be careful about his behavior and conduct, as he did not want to become a stumbling block to others. The same is true for his followers today. We are to be role models of Christian witness. We are to reflect the person of Christ through our thoughts and actions. We are not to become stumbling blocks to those we are witnessing to. Paul calls each one of us to follow his example, but more importantly, to follow the example of Jesus. In verses 18 and 19, Paul warns against the enemies of the cross. Paul warns the Philippians against those whose example is morally harmful or unhelpful, those who are enemies of the cross. The cross is central to our faith. The cross is central to our forgiveness. If Jesus did not die on the cross, then the penalty for our sins remains unpaid. The most famous verses in the Gospels, John 3:16-17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." The contrast between the values of the world and the values of the kingdom. The cross is central to our faith, but it's also central to our discipleship. In Mark 8:34, Jesus called the crowd along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Jesus expresses the requirement for all his followers to take up the cross and follow him. In Philippians 3:20-21, Paul emphasizes that as followers of Jesus, our true citizenship is in heaven. We have this citizenship through the death and resurrection of Jesus. As citizens of heaven in the world, our way of life should demonstrate the values of our heavenly citizenship. We should be revealing and shining the light of Jesus through our words and through our actions. We should be taking up our crosses daily and living up to Jesus' model of servanthood. Paul calls us to stand firm in the Lord. There is an old song, it's quite an old chorus, that we used to sing on beach missions, and it will be familiar to many people. "When the road is rough and steep, fix your eyes upon Jesus. He alone has power to keep. Fix your eyes upon him. Jesus is a gracious friend, one on whom you can depend. He is faithful to the end. Fix your eyes upon him. In an uncertain world, Jesus is the one certainty." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for offering each and every one of us the opportunity of being citizens of your heavenly kingdom. We ask you through the power of your Holy Spirit to strengthen our faith day by day, that we may stand firm in our faith, witnessing to others and living out your principles in our daily lives. Amen.